speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
We will conclude our series of lessons in regard to serving God, that is, with the specific lessons that we've been centered in and around, and I hope that all these lessons on serving God has been beneficial. I hope that they have been encouraging to each and every one of you. As Christians, our service to God is indeed a blessing. Why do I say it's a blessing? Well, in order for us to properly serve God, we must have a relationship with Him. And therefore, if we are able to serve God, that means that we have obeyed Christ in baptism, and then also it means that we are striving every single day to walk worthy of the calling of which we have been called. And therefore, it is a blessing to be able to be in the kingdom of God and to be able then to serve Him. Also, though, we understand is that we are servants of God because God commands us to serve Him. It's not just something that He asks us to do and that we can choose whether or not we're going to be a servant of His once we've been baptized. God actually literally commands us, and that means is that He requires us to serve Him every single day of our life. And as servants of God, then, we need to understand is that it comes with a lifetime responsibility. Every single one of us, whether we are new Christians, mature Christians, or whether we're young Christians or old Christians, we all have responsibilities to understand the responsibility that God gives us as servants of Him to continue to serve Him each and every day of our life here. Why do we serve? Good people, as we serve, you and I are able to provide help to individuals who need help, but also then, as we would help others, then we are also then able to bring encouragement to these souls. And many of the souls that we are serving as we are serving God, then these individuals are outside of Christ. And therefore, the things that we might do with them, might say to them, that might be their first impression in regard to what it means to be a Christian. And as we serve, we need to certainly be thankful for the opportunity that we have to help individuals, but also to understand the seriousness and significance of that situation that we are in, that we are given an opportunity by God to encourage a soul. But also as we serve God, then we have seen in this series of lessons that it offers us hope as Christians of an eternal life in heaven with our God. As we serve from time to time, we serve without recognition or without any appreciation. As I think in regard to why some people serve, there are some who serve with an improper motive. In this, some people serve because they like to be seen by mankind. And it's not only whenever it comes to their service. We understand this to be true when they bow in prayer. Some people will pray in the presence of others and they will choose to say eloquent prayers, that is, with $50 words and things of that nature. And there's nothing at all wrong with praying in public and using terminology that we might classify as $50 words. But let's be honest, some people pray in that way because they like to have people come and pat them on the back and to say, what a great prayer you offered. We also understand, though, is that some people who claim to be preachers, and sadly, even some who are true gospel preachers in the Lord's church, if you would, they like that attention to be able to pray, to be able to preach in public, or even to stand on street corners, or to speak in lectureships. And why do they do that? Because they like to be seen in public. They like that attention. And not all are like that, but yet at the same time, there are some. And in like figure then, as it would pertain to our lessons, some like to provide service for the same reason. In this, they long for the moments of praise. They serve for recognition. They want people to see what it is that they are doing. They thrive for those moments wherein that people will come and compliment them. In this, sadly, we find is that some look in order to receive some type of a future favor from the service that they have rendered. They will maybe use that as blackmail, or they will use that as leverage to say that, you know, I helped you at some point in time, and here I am needing, or here I am in a situation, will you come and now help me? And that certainly would not be a proper motive as we would seek to serve our fellow man. Some actually live for the occasion to be exalted in life. Their service is not about our God. Also, I think that it's safe to say that this type of an individual, their service is not about others. Their service is about I, me, my. It is about themselves and the opportunities that it might afford them in life. As New Testament Christians, the Bible identifies to us is that as we serve, you and I need to see the opportunity that God gives us to make a difference in an individual's life. If somebody is dealing with a situation in life that is challenging to them, we need to identify, as God does, is that this lays a burden upon people. And whenever people are dealing with burdens, they're dealing with challenges and struggles and trials. And as we look to helping these individuals, certainly we want to serve because God commands us to and because we love God, but also we need to love that soul and to understand that as we are given that chance, that God gives us that chance to make a difference, to help lift that burden, to help lighten that load, so that then God would certainly be glorified in it all. As we serve as Christians, we must seek to demonstrate our God's love. Every single day, I want to encourage you as my brothers and sisters in Christ to live a life before the world that will tell the world how much we love God, but also to live before the world in a way that will express to them that we have a genuine love and concern for them as a soul that has been created after the very image of God. Not only should we live in such a way before the lost souls of this world, but we need to tell people on a continual basis that we love them. And it might seem foreign to us to be able to go up to a stranger and say, I love you, but yet at the same time, we were strangers in the sight of God whenever we were alienated from Him, living in sin. But the Bible tells us that God loves us, and we need to be expressing verbally to the lost and dying world that we love them, we love their soul, and we do not want them to be lost. But we need to do more than just to tell them that we love them. We need to show them. We need to show them continually how much we love them by reaching out and serving the needs that they might have. In all things, as Christians, as we are serving, we need to do all that we can to glorify our God. That's what every aspect of our life, that's what every detail in regard to what our Christian life is supposed to be about. Everything that we say ought to strive to glorify God. Everything that we do, everywhere that we go, all that we do at work, kids at school, and no matter where we are in society, in life, we ought to do all to the glory of God. And also then, whenever it comes to our service, whenever we have an opportunity to serve our fellow man or to even serve brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to praise God for the opportunity that He has laid before us and to tell individuals that we are serving is that if they pat us on the back to say, well, thank you, but yet at the same time, I would not be here. I would not be able to do what it is that I'm able to do if God had not blessed me. We need to praise God and to credit God with the opportunity as well as with the abilities that we have. And whenever we do this, good people, it takes the glory off of us and it places it where it certainly is deserved. And that is certainly in the sight of our God. As Christians, as we are serving, we need to show Christ-like humility. We need to be humble. We need to live humbly and in a contrite way before them and to serve with a selfless spirit, a spirit that certainly was becoming of Jesus Christ our Lord. Universally, I realize how challenging it is to live the Christian life. Universally, we have atheists who are out there to mock us, these infidels, if you would. They look to us and our faith and they say that we are foolish for believing in God. They present before us theories, evolutionary theories, and they think that that's somehow better than what it is that you and I have in regard to our faith in God based out of the Scripture, as well as not only the internal but the external evidence. They look to us as fools and they aren't afraid to tell us that. They say that we're gullible to buy in to the things that the Bible has, and they say that we're crazy for living such a rigid life as they would see it, and even coming together to worship and to praise God or to study God's Word. And these things can present to be a challenge to Christians, especially to those who are novice, those who are new Christians, new babes in Christ. But also, we understand is that those in the religious world, oftentimes they tempt to belittle us. In denominationalism, we should not be surprised whenever people in the denominations try to belittle us. Why? Because if we're honest with the situation, they do not respect God. And somebody says, Kevin, why would you say that those in denomination do not respect God? Because they do not respect the authority of His Word. If they did, good people, they would adhere to the things that God commands us to do. As they would disrespect God, also then they're going to try everything that they can to dishonor God's people. That's you and me as Christians. And we must not allow these things to get us down. But also think about the people who are in the world. The people of the world, they cannot understand why we do what we are doing. They're so caught up in their lives. They're so busy with the things that this life has to offer them. They're so involved in the allurements of the world, and therefore because of this they have little and oftentimes no interest at all in our God. And as they look to you and me as Christians and they see our faith, also whenever they recognize our service, they're perplexed. They're totally baffled, confused as to why you and I would believe as we believe and that we would have the convictions that we have. And the commitment to serve God for naught, to serve God without any wavering or without any doubting. We must not allow this to get us down, but also, sometimes the souls that you and I reach out to, let's be completely honest, sometimes these souls do not appreciate the things that we do for them. And these things can hurt. They do not say that they are grateful. Usually, I'm going to say is that we will receive thank you for things that we do, but yet at the same time, I have had the experience, and I trust that each and every one of you have had the experience where you've helped somebody and they didn't even say thank you. They didn't show any type of an appreciation. And this can indeed hurt us, and it can challenge us and even cause us to say, is it worth it? Is it worth reaching out, or is it worth sacrificing? Is it worth going to that extent and laying myself on the line for the sake of helping others? And tonight I tell you, as I know you as Christian, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, I hope and pray that you already know, yes, it is. We should not be surprised whenever it comes to the way in which people treat us and this lack of appreciation. Why? Think about the Lord. Whenever Jesus Christ, our Lord, was here, He was hated by the majority. The majority of the people in the world, they did not love Him. In fact, the Scripture says that they hated Him. John chapter 15, verses 17 through 18. And in this, even His fellow Jews, they hated our Lord. And in fact, I am going to contend is that His brothers were even in on the fact of doubting our Lord. And that's a form of rejection. Jesus was not liked by the majority, even taking into consideration He was despised by the religious sect. He was despised by the leaders of that day within those sects. He was despised by the Sanhedrin Council, the leading men in Israel. And these men, what did they do because of the fact that they despised our Lord? They plotted a plan to destroy Christ, to have Him killed. Even the apostles of Jesus, I think, challenged Him from time to time. These men, they were looking themselves, at least in part, for a physical king and kingdom. And yet at the same time, Jesus did not come to establish a physical empire, but rather, as He told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." It was a spiritual kingdom, and therefore He is an eternal king ruling over the kingdom. And the apostles didn't understand this. And in fact, the Scripture tells us that on more than one occasion, they forsook the Lord. They went away from Him. And can you imagine the challenges that this even caused for the Lord? And as Jesus Christ, our Lord, reached out on a continual daily basis, I believe, doing good deeds for His fellow man, extending the love of God in many amazing ways, even far greater than you and I have been able to engage in our lives, seldom was He appreciated by those that He had reached out to. The context of our lesson tonight in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 17, of the 10 lepers, how many turned back to thank Him? Only one. Only the one. Multitudes of people Jesus fed. And as we said this morning, I can't remember if it was in class or in the sermon, what did they look to Jesus as? They looked to Him as a meal ticket. And that was a lack of appreciation for what it is that Jesus stood for and what Jesus had done in the presence of these individuals. And tonight I tell you that I hope you will hang on to this understanding as we have in Scripture. It does not matter, really and truly, the bottom line, it does not matter if the world does not appreciate us, if the world doesn't see what we're doing. Who sees that? God sees what we are doing. Our God is eternally omniscient. Well, what does that mean? It means that God is everywhere, and it means that God is able to see everything. It means that God is able to hear everything, and that God has a perfect understanding of all things. Get this. Even whenever you and I are serving, and our service is not being seen or appreciated, rather, by our fellow man. God pays very close attention to our lives. He sees, He hears, He understands, and He cares about us personally. And that excites me to know that God looks at me and He cares about me personally, and I'm not alone. He loves and cares for each and every one of you personally, as well as for the entirety of the world. That's why He gave Jesus Christ our Lord, John chapter 3, verses 16 and verse 17. And God pays very close attention to the things that we do in service to our fellow man. In fact, the Bible tells us that He creates the opportunities that we have. Well, what does that mean? It means that He opens up hearts. And that does not mean that He does it in some sort of a miraculous or mystical way, but rather He does it as these individuals have a desire to want to know more about Him, and He will use the abilities that He uses on a daily basis providentially to open up doors so that you and I then can go in to that open heart with that open door to serve these individuals that we might be able to have an impact or an influence upon these precious souls. But God will remember each and every servant. He will remember every single thing that you and I have done. The evil things, we bring that out from time to time. But good people tonight, I want to express in a very big way, He will remember the great things that we have done in the kingdom. He will look to us and to see that we have sacrificed ourselves, if we're sacrificing ourselves. He will look to the ways in which we have worked in people's lives to show them our love, as well as to show them the love of God. But also He will see our concern that we have, not only for their physical well-being, but also for their spiritual state in our efforts to bring them into a relationship with our God. Christians, as you and I look to our service to God, we must not grow weary in our well-doing. We must keep on plugging away. We must keep on doing more and more. Yes, we must aspire even to increase in our abilities and look for an increase of opportunities to reach out and to serve in even greater ways than maybe we are at this given time. But also, let us never let ungrateful people get us down. We've got to do, as Jesus said unto the apostles, we've got to shake the dust off of our feet. We've got to be ready to move on to a more positive moment to an individual maybe who really and truly is looking for God. And that individual, I will assure you, also then will appreciate what it is that you and I do as Christians to glorify our Heavenly Father. But also as Christians, let's never dwell on the negatives of serving. I was at a lectureship a few years ago over Freed Hardeman, and it has nothing at all to do with Freed or their lectureships. But in the gymnasium, used to be Bader Gymnasium, and they've now torn that down and they built another area for their gymnasium, and that's where all the vendors set up. And I was sitting around a table with some of my fellow classmates that I graduated from preaching school with, and then also there were some other people sitting around that that I had an acquaintance with that were missionaries overseas, and other missionaries sitting around from overseas that I did not know. So I knew some of them and some I did not know. And as one started to talk about his work overseas, I believe this individual was in Africa, he was talking about the ways in which he had reached out, he and his wife, in a very personal and big way, sacrificial manner, to help this family who was there. And he said they never said thank you. He says, in fact, he says they ended up, through the government, trying to get him in trouble for the things that they were doing in the country. And he says they weren't doing anything unethical. And he says, oh, he says, that left that very sour taste in my mouth. And then as soon as he finished, somebody else started. Oh, well, I can beat that one. And they shared a negative aspect in regard to what had happened to them in their work and in their service and the way in which it come back to bite them. And they said, you know, I'm just convinced, and this is paraphrased, yeah, I'm just convinced is that it's really and truly not worth it. And it went about to about four or five of these individuals, and finally I had enough. I got up and I walked away. We must not dwell on the negatives of service. Why? I will assure you that that's what the devil wants. The devil wants us to see the negatives, and God wants us to focus upon the positives and then to work in a positive way to bring forth the more positives whenever it comes to our service to Him. In the end, if you and I serve as faithful servants of God, living our lives faithful before God, but also as we serve God, and if we do not grow weary in well-doing, in doing those good deeds of the Lord promises us that in the end, you and I shall have an eternal reward in Him, with Him in heaven someday. And therefore, I want to encourage you to continue to live faithful before God, but also to continue to be involved in the ways that God commands us to do, and then also then to aspire to do more and more as you serve God through also serving our fellow man. Are you a servant of the Most High God tonight? If not, we want to extend His invitation to you to become one of His children. And in becoming one of His children, you must confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And if you have not yet done that, God calls you, God pleads on your behalf that you might listen unto His invitation and respond.